Welcome to Progress in Mind Resource Center, where we bring you the latest news in psychiatry and neurology.
Inform, track, and treat. New tools to identify and address cognitive symptoms in mood disorders. Brain health is important to us all, and cognitive impairment causes significant morbidity. Cognition is a key treatment target in depression and bipolar disorder. Cognitive symptoms are recognised in patients with mood disorders, as for patients with schizophrenia and dementia, but often considered a consequence of mood symptoms and not a separate feature of the illness. Yet cognitive symptoms can remain when the depressive symptoms are treated. Professor Eduard Vieta, Department of Psychiatry and Psychology, University of Barcelona, Spain, discussed important new recommendations that can help clinicians in assessing and managing cognition in patients during a brainstorming session at ECMP 2018. Identifying and addressing cognitive problems is crucial for achieving important patient outcomes in major depressive disorder, including improvements in quality of life, work, and prognosis. The best predictor of poor functioning is presence of cognitive impairment when the patient is considered to be in remission. Both subjective and objective measures can be used to assess cognition. Subjective measures are easier to implement in a clinic setting, with questions on daily life cognition and mood symptoms. Objective measures are more time-consuming, traditionally require neuropsychological assessment, and impractical for busy clinicians. To address this, the Cognition Task Force of the International Society for Bipolar Disorders, ISBD, has recently developed helpful and consensus-based recommendations for clinicians on cognitive assessment and management, which can also be applied to other mood disorders. Their website provides a link to both subjective, such as COBRA, Cognitive Complaints in Bipolar Disorder Rating Assessment, and objective, SCIP, Screen for Cognitive Impairment in Psychiatry, assessment tools. These free, validated, multilingual tools are quick, usually less than 15 minutes, and easy for clinicians to perform. Thresholds of greater than 14 for COBRA and less than 70 for SCIP have good specificity for cognitive symptoms. Ideally, testing should be done when the patient is in remission, as clinical status at the time will affect results, and educational level or IQ should also be taken into account. If cognitive symptoms are detected, then the next step, Professor Vieta suggested, is to determine if the cause is primary or secondary. Underlying secondary causes are important to identify, as many can be treated effectively. They include mood, comorbidities, lifestyle issues, and medication. Sub-threshold depressive symptoms can cause issues with cognition, even if patients think they have recovered. Hence the importance of targeting complete remission. Comorbidities may not be obvious, and the possibility of alcohol or substance use, or illicit drug use, and anxiety disorders should be considered, as well as medical non-psychiatric conditions, including hypothyroidism, metabolic syndrome, diabetes, and hypertension. Medication may help some symptoms, but can also worsen cognitive symptoms, and dose and type of agent should be reviewed, although switching drugs may not be advisable if the patient is stable. Polypharmacy is common, and a correlation has been found between the number of medications and cognitive symptoms. It is important to consider that patients may have a coexisting organic brain illness or dementia, and these patients should be referred for full diagnostic assessment. Other causes of primary cognitive impairment include obstetric complications, neurodevelopmental abnormalities, or allostatic load of previous manic or psychotic episodes. If no treatable secondary cause is found, Professor Vieta advised at least yearly screening to track cognition over time, and recommended using the new ISBD patient information booklet to give patients information and advice on managing their cognitive symptoms. There was lively audience participation during the brainstorming time, with discussion of areas including improving cognitive reserve, associated risk of dementia in mood disorders, and possible therapeutic interventions.
Thank you for listening to the Progress in Mind Resource Center podcast. For additional resources and materials, visit us at progress.im.